Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your hosts,
Sterling
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage, and what, Sterling?
A whole lot more.
A whole lot more. Well, let's talk about them Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Leave my Buccaneers alone.
You knew I was going there, right?
We can't be a champion. We got to give the rest of the league a chance to get it in on the winning a little
okay,
bit.
Okay. But it was such a good game. I mean, I wish y'all could have seen him.
We fought to the
he
end.
He was moping, and when they started making those touchdowns, he was up and jumping around and hooping and hollering. And I actually thought they were going to come back and win the game.
So did I. I thought they had it. They did everything right, but they ran out of energy at the end.
They did. Why did they blitz?
I don't know. I wish I could get to my coach's head. I said it was the dumbest thing they could ever do. Blitz.
I would love to have seen Brady, you know, back to the Super Bowl, Tampa back, but it is what it is. And so now who's left? Who's left in the playoffs? You got Kansas City, the Chiefs.
And I can't think of who the Chiefs are playing.
The Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, the Chiefs, the Bills. Are the Bills still in it?
No.
Okay, the Bills are not in it. Well, anyway, we've got some great football left. Two more games, and then we'll be ready for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Tampa's not in it this year, but Brady had a great season. We know the Panthers are not in it, but Brady had a great season. And I don't know. I guess I'm pulling for the Chiefs now since Tampa beat them last year. I guess. What's the quarterback's name?
Mahomes.
I guess I'd like to see Mahomes win one.
Yeah, the Chiefs in Cincinnati and the Rams in San Francisco.
Yeah, so we've got some good football coming up. I'm sorry, babe. I'm sorry.
We'll be all right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back. As Arnold Schwarzenegger would say,
we will be back.
So let's see what else exciting happened here in Georgia.
Oh, we had snow.
Oh, that's right. We got snow in Grovetown, Georgia. We got snow.
There's a little crop dusting, but we got a little bit of snow.
But the kids had such a great time.
Yes, the kids were loving it.
They were out at like 10 o'clock at night.
And yes. Making snowmen.
Making snowmen and having a good time. Yeah, I enjoyed watching the posts. But mom and them in North Carolina, they got like 3-4 inches of snow.
Oh, they got it. They got the real deal.
But I was glad, you know, it was a little crop dust. It gave the kids an opportunity. Some of the kids had never seen snow before, so it was pretty fun. It's been kind of cold, but now the weather's warming up. So yeah. Groundhog Day is coming up next week.
Telling the spring is on the way.
I hope so. Listening, Groundhog, if you listening out there, if you listening to the podcast today, Groundhog, we want you to, if he sees his shadow, whichever one it is,
we want
spring to come early.
So I can get back to working on my lawn.
Oh, my God. Mr. Smith loves his yard, everybody. And everybody in the neighborhood talks about his grass and how Mr. Smith just takes really good care of his grass and his hedges and stuff. You know, that's something men just like.
You know, it's relaxing.
It's relaxing.
It's a challenge, too. And I can't let the lawn defeat me.
Okay. And I'm not a cut your grass, trim the hedges kind of girl, so I make sure he has plenty of water to drink and he's okay and he keeps the yard pretty nice. So, all right. So, snow, Groundhog Day's coming up. I was in Atlanta, got a couple of awards.
Yes, they blessed my babes with a couple of awards for the great job that she's doing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Leaders should always be striving to improve themselves and learn as much as they can so that they can lead and serve, you know, the people that they have been called to. And I'm one of those types folks. I'm always looking to improve and lifelong learner. And so you know, putting in the work and then being recognized for your hard work. It's always great. So, yeah, it was really fun.
You want to be the best in any capacity that you can at whatever job that you're doing.
You want to try to be the best, and there's nothing wrong with trying to be the best. Well, before we jump into our show, this is the last week that we're going to be talking about the temperament. We have one last temperament to talk about, but we want to make sure that we give our disclaimer that we always give. That we are not licensed therapists.
We are not.
Not licensed therapists or clinicians.
Not that either.
But we have 27 years of marriage plus a couple of years of dating experiences. We believe that we've walked through some good times, some bad times, some ups, some downs, some highs and lows. But more good, more ups, more highs. But we've had challenges, and so we thought we would take this opportunity to be transparent and share in hopes of inspiring couples that you can weather those downs, you can weather those trials, those storms.
It can be done.
Those lows, and have a very happy, successful, and loving marriage. And so that's what we endeavor to do here, just kind of share a little bit about.
You got to believe in each other.
Got to believe in each other and some of the stuff that helped us along the way. And we want to share that. And temperament is one of those things. If you haven't listened to the other shows, go back and listen to the other shows. We talked about how, you know, when I learned about temperament, it really helped me understand more about myself and a little bit more about Mr. Smith. And you're going to have to go back and listen to the shows because we're not going to go into, you know, everything we went into about temperament and defining it and all that good stuff. If you've been listening, then you're on board. But please go back if you haven't. But we have one last temperament that we want to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
We will say that there are four temperaments. You have two of your extroverted temperaments, and that is the choleric and the sanguine. And then you have your two introverted temperaments, and that is the melancholy and the phlegmatic. And Mr. Smith, and we say you have a dominant and you have an underlying. So you are a what, Mr. Smith? Phleg?
Phleg.
Clo. Right. Yeah. Phleg clo. And then I'm a san male. And so, yeah, that's kind of our mix. And we've been talking about each one of the temperaments. And the last one that we're going to talk about today is the phlegmatic husband. That's you, Mr. Smith.
Yeah. It reads me. Yeah, if you say so. Yeah.
And the phlegmatic wife. And then we will be done with temperament, and we'll just let you know we're going to be having some exciting shows in January. It's Valentine's. It's the love month. And
the lovers month.
Yeah. So we're going to bring some lovers on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to bring some lovers on the show, and they're going to tell their love story. And
oh, yeah, yeah, that'll be interesting.
Share a little bit with us about some of their secrets and some of their nuggets of having a happy, successful, long-lasting marriage. All right, so what we talked about was that two of the areas that couples really struggle and have the most problems in, especially as they get more into the marriage, is finances and intimacy. And so we've been talking about that with the different temperaments, and we're talking about that phlegmatic husband. So, you know, not a lot is known about the bedroom life of the phlegmatic husband because phlegs don't talk a lot. So if you're married to a phlegmatic, you know, a phlegmatic man is not going to be out in the streets talking about, you know, his intimacy with his wife, which I don't think any man should.
You shouldn't be doing that.
There's just some stuff you just don't.
You don't do that.
You don't talk to your boys and your girls about mess around and they have your husband or your wife and you wonder like what happened. But anyway.
Keep your business to yourself.
Keep your business in your bedroom to yourself. Okay. So, you know, what we do know about the intimate behavior of a phlegmatic, it usually comes from his sanguine or his choleric partner. And sometimes that information could be biased. So, you know, in fairness to the phlegmatic husband, any suggestions that we make concerning how he responds intimately should be evaluated on the basis of deductive analysis and hearsay reporting. So since the phlegmatic is easygoing, you consider yourself easygoing, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I'm very easygoing.
Okay. Phlegmatics, remember, they're easygoing and prone to be unmotivated. The myth is that he may not be a spirited lover, But that's not always true. I will say that's not true, because if you study the habits of a phlegmatic, then you see that they really accomplish more than what they're given credit for. Because we said you guys are great leaders, but you're not the one to raise your hand and say, I'll lead, I'll lead.
We're not jump up and down guys.
Right. But when you're put in a situation.
We rise to the occasion. Where you do have, what we have to do.
Right. So you rise to the occasion when put in a situation where it does require leadership from you. So you know, flags don't make a lot of noise, and they don't attract a lot of attention to themselves because of their achievements like some of the other temperaments do.
Yes.
Because the sanguine and the choleric,
they out front.
You go, oh, you're going to know. You're going to know I achieved something.
They're going to be pounding the chest. Let it be known who I am.
So with the choleric, you know, they make good use of their expended efforts. When they want to do something, you know, they follow through. And they do it in a very quiet way. I remember talking to one of your commanders. I think it was Captain Lust when we were in Germany. And I remember meeting him, and he talked about how he really admired your quiet leadership style. Like, you weren't one of these leaders that was just, you know, boisterous and, you know, loud and intimidating to get people to follow you, but you had this very quiet leadership style. So like I was saying, when the phlegmatic wants to do something, they typically, the phlegmatic husband, he typically follows through effectively and promptly, but in his own quiet way. And that's probably also the way he expresses his intimacy towards his wife. One characteristic of phlegmatics should help their love lives, and that's the characteristic of their abundant kindness. You're very kind.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
I am.
I think most people that know you would say you're very kind. And I think most phlegmatics have that characteristic. They are very kind. So rarely, if ever, a phlegmatic husband's not going to embarrass or insult his wife. Sarcasm is not just his way. You know, I've seen choleric husbands who, you know, would oink at their wives to indicate like they're overweight. Who would say things like, and it just boils, it just makes my blood boil. But those are some of the other temperaments that would, you know, where the husbands would do that. But with the phlegmatic, they're not going to embarrass their wives. They're not going to use sarcasm, as a way to insult their wives. So, the phlegmatics have little trouble gaining love from their wives because women like and respond to men who are kind to them. I think that was, I said that in the beginning, like you were just too kind. And I was like,
she said I was a nice guy. That's what she said. And you know what they say about nice guys.
Yeah. So you were just too kind. And it was just like, okay, you know. So another advantageous trait in the phlegmatic is that he rarely gets angry and very seldom creates irritation in others. I can say that about you. It takes a whole lot to get you revved up. I remember one time coming home, we were in Germany and the kids were in the room and they were jumping on the bed. I mean, when I came through the door, they were wide open, y'all. They were jumping on the bed. They were having a good time. And Mr. Smith was just sitting in the den watching TV. And I was like, don't you hear all that? Do you hear these kids? So, you know, again, the difference in temperament, like it takes a lot to really irritate him and ruffle his feathers versus me. You know, I was like, oh, my God, these kids are jumping on the bed.
I thought they were just having a good time.
And they were. but still, you know, jumping on the bed, fall, get hurt. But, you know, if the phlegmatic male husband, if his fiery wife screams at him for some reason, that's probably that sanguine or that choleric. His response usually extinguishes the fire from that wife because he's the master of soft answers. And I think I talked about that like early on when we were married, like I couldn't get you to fight. Like I couldn't get you to like dig in with me. And it irritated me because you would just be quiet.
I would say stuff like, well, all right then. Okay. If you say so.
Oh, gosh.
Those are my classic lines.
Oh, wow. It's too funny. So having this phlegmatic paired with the sanguine or choleric probably works. So the storm has usually passed bedtime, and he has conveniently, act as if the incident never happened. So phlegmatic men often have a way of getting things to go their way by waiting for them because they are patience personified. Yes, you're very patient, Mr. Smith.
You have to be. In a marriage, you have to be patient.
Somebody has to be patient. Well, we know patience has not always been my, good suit. But the phlegmatic husband is very patient, patient personified. He's able to outwait that wife that could be fiery sometimes. And their love is probably like that as well. As the intensity of their youthful sex drive cools down somewhat, phlegmatic husbands patiently teach their wives to originate lovemaking. And if the truth were known, they probably get all the love they want in marriage, perhaps even more frequently and better than some of the other tempestuous types. They are simply more prone than other temperaments to let their wives initiate lovemaking.
What was that word?
Tempestuous.
Oh, I'm going to add that to my vocabulary. Tempestuous.
But there are some areas that can cause the phlegmatic some serious trouble. The first is that most phlegmatic men are reluctant to assert themselves and take leadership unless it's thrust upon them.
True.
True.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can ride with that.
Okay. But when he does lead, he performs his task admirably. And I can vouch for that. And I'm sure that many people that have worked with you, your soldiers, even in your civilian career, I've heard people say that about him, So whenever you fail to take the leadership in the home, the wife can become very disillusioned. So the wife who expects such a husband to assume the initiative in the bedroom may soon feel unloved. So as a phlegmatic, you have to come outside of your comfort and be the one that initiates those intimate moments and not always let the wife be the one that initiates it. Because if she's the one always initiating, then she may feel like you don't love her or you don't desire her.
She feels neglected.
Well, yeah, neglected, but just like not desired. You know what I'm saying?
Like you don't spark the male's interest, the phlegmatic.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, there you go. And so sometimes she loses respect for her phlegmatic husband because he doesn't seem to assert his manhood, kind of what you just said. A second danger spot for the phleg is the phlegmatic selfishness, which makes him stingy. Oh, my goodness, y'all.
Hold it.
Here comes the story.
No story. Go ahead. Not stingy, just wise.
Here comes the story, y'all. When I first started dating this man right here, I was like, he is tight with his money.
Frugal.
I was like, he is stingy. He is tight with his money. Flags are, and you're right. I mean, y'all are stingy. You know, you were tight, but over the years, growth, and so he's worked on that, and he's gotten much better with that. But that's a danger that you could be stingy and stubborn in a polite manner, not stubborn in a nasty way. But Mr. Smith could be stubborn, y'all. I know y'all don't want to believe that.
I have my ways. That's what I call it. Not stubborn. I just have my ways.
And so when he yields to those weaknesses, it can produce resentment in a wife, like her husband never takes her out. That was kind of like one of my pet peeves is I'm always the one planning a date night. I'm always the one planning to get away. I wanted to see some more of that initiative from you, because again, you start to feel like, well, you're not appreciated or you're not desired. And so, and we already know that when there's resentment,
comes confusion.
It comes. Yeah. When the resentment comes, the anger comes, And so we know that the resentment stifles the love. And so flags have to be careful about this. All right. The third danger area for Mr. Phlegmatic is his tendency to crawl into a shell of silence when things fail to work out. Since he usually finds it difficult to talk about anything, he probably finds it hard to teach his wife what he finds exciting in love making. That communication. Back to communication. And so
you got to communicate your feelings.
So consequently, he will silently endure his less enjoyable relations for years and cheat both him and himself and his wife out of countless ecstatic experiences that God meant for them to enjoy. So the kind-hearted, soft-spoken, gentle phlegmatic may appear to outsiders as a man who has conquered his weakness, but to those who live, but those that live with him recognize his salient needs. And so, can you talk a little bit about that? So have you did you struggle with any of that? Did you see yourself in any of that?
Yes, because I'm just keeping a short one-liner.
Don't tell all our business
because,
now.
Because, we all have needs. And we all want those needs fulfilled. But if you don't say anything about them or you keep them locked up within you, they will go unfulfilled. And you'll just say, oh, well, that's life. And you'll keep moving on.
But most men are not just going to keep moving on. Most men are going
to get frustrated.
Right, right. And that could, even for the phlegmatic, that could lead to, which, you know, they're not more prone as some of the other temperaments to have extramarital affairs. But that's why the communication is so important.
Yes, you have to have the communication.
Yeah.
You must communicate those issues, or not issues, or those things that you need or that you want.
So the phlegmatic husband, he needs to have a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ that motivates him to think of the needs of his wife rather than indulge in his own feelings in solitude. He needs to have a more aggressive attitude in everything, especially in considerations of his wife's needs and lovemaking. He needs to have a greater expression of his love and approval of his wife. He must learn to talk more freely about his own desires and needs, especially if the couple is confronting problems. This need to communicate requires his continual efforts. And a wife who will understand and accept his seeming lacking of motivation without resentment, and who will tactfully use her feminine wiles to arouse him at the appropriate time, will really help in this situation. And a wife who will try to adapt her emotional timetable to her partner's to maximize his vitality, and who will appreciate his strong, silent tendencies, recognizing the depth of his nature and giving thanks for it rather than chafing at his inclination toward passivity. If she starts nagging, then he crawls into a shell and he'll shut her out.
True. Sometimes, phlegmatics, we got to bring the energy. As hard as it may be, we have to do it.
Yeah.
We have to just get used to doing that to please your wife.
Yeah. And I've been that nagging wife, and I've seen you crawl into that shell and shut me out. And so as that sanguine, that's something that I had to work on and learn, what a blessing it is to have a husband that's not loud and aggressive and intimidating and, you know, just rude and disrespectful. But to appreciate that quiet, quiet leadership, strong, but quiet leadership style.
It's a cool demeanor.
Yeah. To appreciate someone who's not running out in the streets, who's not hanging out, and to be grateful and thankful. And then to work on the other areas.
Yes.
Yep. All right.
It's a constant work. It's a constant job. And it's only improving yourself and also improving your marriage.
All right. Let's talk about this phlegmatic wife. So as a general rule, the easiest person in the world to get along with is the phlegmatic wife. All right. Most phlegs they're easy to get along with. All phlegs are just so easy to get along with. The phlegmatic wife, she loves to please people and will usually give in to her more forceful mate rather than create turmoil. She's easily satisfied and often turns her affection and attention on her children if trouble arises between her and her husband. The phlegmatic wife's passive personality will usually characterize her bedroom life. She rarely initiates lovemaking because she wants to please her her partner. She almost never turns him down. So one of the most powerful influences Sterling in the life of this phlegmatic wife may be fear and the anxiety that her attitude towards lovemaking causes. So, you know, in spite of the phlegmatic being this gracious, kind, and pleasant spirit, these are some of the areas that the phlegmatic wife needs to work on to become a better wife and lover, to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Many phlegs have a hard time acknowledging that they're sinners because they're such kind people.
Yes.
You know, and so people go, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I'm not cheating, I live a good life.
So I'm a good overall person.
I'm a good person, right. But still, you know, the Bible has it says you got to believe in your mouth, confess with your heart that that Jesus Christ died and that God raised him from the dead. And so because they're such nice people, it's hard for them to acknowledge that they're sinners. But, you know, self-righteousness has kept many people out of the kingdom of God. And as she learns to walk in the spirit each day, the phlegmatic woman will gain motivation to overcome her passivity, love to overcome her selfishness, and faith to overcome her fears. And when she's armed with such attributes from God, she can become a very exciting partner. Another thing for the phlegmatic wife is she needs to create and maintain an interest in her appearance. So phleg mothers often get so tired after their babies arrive that they become careless about their personal appearance, their hair, their attire, and often their weight.
They just let themselves go.
And when a wife ceases to care about how she looks to her husband, she clearly has lost her self-esteem. And her husband's love and respect will also fade away.
There goes the husband.
Yeah.
Husband's going to start acting a fool.
Yeah. Yeah. He starts, his love and respect for her starts to fade away, even though you would think he would be compassionate.
Yes, he should be. He should try to fill that void, that gap with compliments and boosting her up.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't, as wives, we don't have to be a raving beauty to maintain the high regard of our husbands. But, you know, we should take care of our appearance. You know, we should look nice. You know, we shouldn't, a man shouldn't come home every day, the rollers in your head. And
you shouldn't neglect yourselves.
We shouldn't neglect, period. Not just for a man, but.
You just shouldn't neglect yourself.
Yeah, we should love ourselves and keep our appearance.
Temple.
Yeah. Say it again.
You're a temple.
Yeah, we're God's temple, and so we should take care of ourselves. But her appearance night after night will indicate what she thinks of herself and of her husband. And any man should appreciate the fact that his wife is tired once in a while, but five nights a week, you know, come on. You know, a lot of Christian women like to use 1 Peter 3:3. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, as an excuse to let their outward appearance run down. And it's typically at the expense of their marriage. That's not what that scripture, you know, totally and completely means. God wants us to keep ourselves up, ladies. He wants us to look nice. We're his daughters. He wants us to, you know, get those nails done, get that hair done, you know, dress nice, look nice, you know, and we all have our own flavor and style.
Respect yourself.
Yeah.
It's about respect.
Yeah. And so the passage says that a godly wife will spend more time cultivating her spiritual life than her physical. However, it does not teach that she is to neglect either one.
You need a balance of both.
Got to have a balance of both. The phlegmatic wife needs to organize her daily life and maintain a regular schedule. A phlegmatic wife finds it easier to neglect her housekeeping chores more than anyone else, except for a sanguine, but you know, that was been some work. Cause you know, that melancholy comes out in me and I want my house to look nice and clean and neat. So that brings the balance.
That's it. Balance.
Yeah. The phleg, you know, she enjoys shopping and meeting friends for lunch. And before she realizes it, hubby's due home. And, you know, especially a choleric man or a melancholy man doesn't want to come home to, you know, an unclean house.
House in disarray.
Yeah. So these are just a few things about the phlegmatic. And as we're concluding here, I just want to say that all four temperaments possess the capacity to become loving, satisfying marriage partners. You know, we've talked about this. There's strengths in every temperament. Yeah. And there's weaknesses. Right.
You just got to understand and how to relate each other and how to play each other off of one another.
Yeah. So, and again, one of the advantages of knowing the four temperaments is that it becomes easier to appreciate why your spouse acts
the way they do
or reacts
the way they do.
Right. And so that's really the whole purpose of us taking our time these last 3 weeks to talk about this, to make sure, because you're acting out. Some of you are responding to the reacting to those acting out. And so hopefully these last 3 weeks, we've said something, we've enlightened you, we've inspired you, motivated you to dig a little bit deeper and try to figure out, you know, where you fall in these temperaments and what you need to do to accept your individual weaknesses and to work on them.
Yes, you could look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I know now why I do what I do and the way that I act, and adjust accordingly.
Yeah. So that was great. It was a great 3 weeks. I'm glad we took our time and walked through it. We promise these next 4 weeks in the love month, it's going to be exciting and refreshing. We're going to have some great folks coming on the show, and we're looking forward to it. And as always, we want to thank you for taking time out to listen to the show. Please share it in your networks, share it on your social media pages, help us get the word out. We want to be one of the top shows on Bashani Radio. You know I'm a sanguine, so I am competitive. Mr. Smith could care less.
No. Oh, wow. I care.
He cares.
We want the show to be top-notch.
We want the show to be
top-notch and enjoyed by everyone.
Say it again, Mr. Smith.
Top-notch, top-rated, and enjoyed by everyone.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, look, we're on our way out of here. We hope that you had a great hump day and that the rest of your week is enjoyable as you head into the weekend. And as always, we want to leave out with our marriage mantra. But before we do that, stay tuned after the show. There'll be some announcements that'll come about how you can connect with us on social media. But remember, the more you put in your marriage,
the more you'll get out of your marriage.
Until next time.
Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.